I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And good morning, we welcome you to Gospel Dynamite, a Christian broadcast dedicated to the winning of the lost and the edification of God's saints. Gospel Dynamite is a ministry of Asbury Baptist Church, located at 218 Asbury Church Road, Seagrove, North Carolina. We invite you to visit our church on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and Wednesday evenings at 7 o'clock. Now will you join me in studying the Word of God? You're listening to Gospel Dynamite. Today we look at Ephesians chapter 1 again, and we look at verses 3 through 6. We're in a study in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. To understand the book of Ephesians, you must understand the concept of the church as being the body of Christ. The revelation of that redeemed body, the Lord's body in this world, is essential for understanding this particular book. And as you know, God utilizes many metaphors to describe his people. He calls us a bride, he calls us a family, a household, a kingdom, a flock, a vine, branches, and a building. In Ephesians, Paul introduces the idea that the church is also a body. That descriptive term most completely describes what the church is really all about. The word body brings to mind images of unity, diversity, and mutual dependence. For instance, in our human body, every muscle, every bone, every nerve, every fiber is essential to a proper functioning of this body. The same is true in the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 18 says, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him." In verses 7 through 11 of that same passage, Paul reminds us that we each have been given a unique assignment within the body of Christ, a specific area of service. And just as the human body allows you to manifest to the world, yourself, around you, the body of Christ, which is a functioning, as he designed it to, allows Jesus to manifest himself to the world. Now, our human bodies receive direction from the head. The brain tells the rest of the body what to do and how to do what is commanded. The same is true with the body of Christ. Jesus, the head of the body, directs the body to carry out his will in the world. When we are living to our fullest potential in Christ, he is seen in the world and souls are drawn to him, according to John chapter 12 and verse 32. Now, most of the time when Paul writes about the body, he does so from the perspective of the here and now. He wants us to know who we are and how we are to be functioning in the world today. In these verses, Paul takes us back to eternity past. He intends to teach us how God formed the church before the world began. In verses 3 through 14 of Ephesians 1, we're in one long continuing sentence in Greek. In the original language, it is a sentence of some 202 words. In these verses, Paul begins to Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for his grace and salvation. And he just kept on ascending to the heights of the riches and the glories of God's grace. And this sentence is literally loaded with theological truth. Nuggets of truth buried here, overflowing. These verses take us into eternity past and reveal how the Lord formed his church before the world ever began. They teach us about God's eternal purpose in salvation. The verses remind us of one essential, enormous, important truth. They remind us that we are not an afterthought. We're not just some individuals who have had the good sense to call on Jesus one day for salvation. These verses teach us that we have been on God's heart for eons of time. And lots of people are looking for self-esteem in the world. They're always looking for some way to see their life in a sense of meaning, a sense of purpose. Some people turn to books. They turn to seminars trying to find out how to be someone. Others attach themselves to people who are already somebody's idol so that they can be someone. Others follow the lives of people that they believe are someone, hoping that they too can be somebody and live vicariously through someone they admire or shadow. Others want to reach back into their genealogy to find ancestors who they thought were somebody. You'll never find yourself worth playing little mind games. You'll never find yourself worth in a bookstore buying self-help books. It just doesn't happen that way. If you want to find your self-worth, look no farther than your position in Jesus Christ. Because when you come to understand that you were chosen in Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world, that understanding will do much for your self-worth and your self-esteem. I mean, think about it. If you're saved, you're born again, God chose you before the foundation of the world. He placed your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He chose you. I don't understand why. I don't completely understand how. But that's what the text is teaching. That brings me to the text that I want to look at today. And as we study verses 3 through 14, we're going to see in verses 3 through 6 that Paul praises God for his sovereign work in election. In verses 7 through 11, he praises God for his saving work in redemption. In verses 12 through 14, he praises God for his sharing work in giving us an inheritance in Christ. So let's look at what Paul is teaching here in these verses. He opens up with an anthem of praise, praising God for his sovereign work. Now, I want you to see the reasons these verses give us for praising God for who chose us in Christ before we ever existed. And Paul details that God is to be praised for his love. Verse 3 tells us about the blessings we enjoy as the children of God. The fact is, we are far wealthier in Jesus Christ than we could ever grasp. We are wealthy in Jesus Christ. The source of our blessing is identified as God. And Paul says, "Blessed be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." The word blessed translates a word that means to speak good of. We get our word eulogy from that word. If you ever heard a eulogy at a funeral, you heard a time when someone tried to speak well or good concerning another person. And Paul is saying that God is good. And how true that is. He is a good God. In Genesis 14 and verse 20, Melchizedek says, "And blessed be the Most High God." In Revelation 5 and verse 13, It says, and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. So from Genesis to Revelation, God is called blessed. We like to say that God is good when things are going our way. But I want to remind you that he's still the same Lord when things seem to go against us. Whether we're enjoying life or whether we seem to be enduring life. Not only is God the blessed one, Paul also tells us that he is the blesser. He says, who hath blessed? All the blessings we enjoy come to us from the hand of God above, James 1 and verse 17. Even when we think things are bad, God has a way of turning them around for our good. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So God is good, and he demonstrates that goodness to his children by being good to them. He is blessed, and he is the blesser. When Paul says, blessed be God, he is praising God for the blessings that he gives his children. Now that reminds us that our God is worthy of praise all the time. Think about this. Most of the things we do in our faith, we do because we have been commanded to do them. We attend worship, we give, we witness, we pray, all kinds of acts of obedience. When we take the time to open our mouths to give God praise and honor, we're giving him an offering of love. And there are very few things that we can offer our Lord, but one thing we can give him, and he desires, is praise and worship. In the Old Testament, they had what was known as a freewill offering. That was an offering given to the Lord by someone just because they loved him. They would bring their sacrifice to the Lord and offer it up freely because they were moved with overwhelming love for the God of their salvation. The same kind of offering is still in order today. It's an offering that he will accept. Psalm 119, verse 108 says, accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. Paul says that God hath blessed us. The word us there, the us that Paul is referring to, are the saints and the faithful that he has mentioned in verse 1. The recipients of God's blessings are those he has saved by his grace. And our blessings to him are the words we say. His blessings to us are the deeds he performs in our lives. When Paul says that God hath blessed us, it's the same word that is used about him. In other words, God has good thoughts towards his people, Jeremiah 29, verse 11. In fact, the tense of the verb here suggests that God is always thinking good thoughts toward his children. And these good thoughts translate into good deeds in your life and mine. So because we are his and because he loves us, he pours out his blessings in our lives. It's incredible when you stop and think about it. Because God has chosen to save us, and he chooses to also bless us for his glory. It amazes us to think that we are the saints of God in everything we possess in him. Paul goes on to say and says, all spiritual blessing. The word all means total, whole of every kind. In other words, God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. We've been given everything God has to offer. And when we came by faith to Jesus, God opened the treasure trove of heaven and authorized us to receive unlimited resources. Paul tells us that we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings, and the word spiritual translates the Greek word pneumatikos, and in the New Testament, that word is always used to refer to the word of the Holy Spirit. So this verse is saying that God has given to us everything that the Spirit of God can deliver to us. Everything we could possibly need or want has been dispensed to us through the work of the Spirit of God in our lives. We are rich in spiritual resources, and we don't even realize it. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. In Philippians 1 and verse 19, Paul calls what we possess in Christ, he calls it the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. We are rich in all spiritual blessings. Sadly, we don't always appropriate what we have in Christ. In fact, we spend a lot of time asking for things that he has already given to us. We pray for love when God says that love is shed abroad in our hearts, Romans 5 and verse 5. We pray for peace when Jesus has already said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid," John 14 and verse 27. We pray for joy when the Bible plainly tells us that we have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Galatians 5, verse 22 tells us that these things are the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And when he's in us, he will produce these things as we abide in Christ. That's not all. We pray for strength to do things God has called us to do when he's already told us that we can do all things through Christ which strengthened us. Philippians 4 and verse 13. We worry over our own needs when the Lord has already promised to meet our needs. He said that he would supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians 4 and 19. We seek his presence when he has plainly said, "I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee." Hebrews 13, verse 5. We think we need a lot of things we don't have. In truth, we possess great riches that we never have tapped into. And I hope the Lord will help us to realize all the spiritual blessings that we can lay hold on to that we already possess in Christ. Our material resources are limited. Regardless of how much you may have materially, you do not possess everything you need for the rest of your life in its entirety. Every one of us could come to an end of our financial and material resources at any given day. During dark financial times when funds are limited, we have to use what we have wisely. If we don't, it'll quickly vanish away. In Jesus Christ, the saints of God have accessible to them more than we could ever spend in thousands of lifetimes. We do not have to be frugal with our blessings, but we should spend all that we can while we're here for his glory. We'll also call your attention to the fact that Paul says that our blessings are located in heavenly places. Some people think this means that what we will have when we get to heaven. In truth, it means that our blessings are in a supernatural realm. Remember, our blessings are spiritual blessings. They are supernatural in nature. Think of it this way. When we get saved, we become citizens of heaven, Philippians 3:20. We live here, but we also live there. We're passing through this world, but we don't belong here anymore. Our hearts are no longer here. Our desires are no longer here. Our actions are no longer the actions of the world. We're literally people who live in two worlds at the same time. We live on the earth, But we commune with God in a supernatural realm. We're strangers and pilgrims in this world. But we long for that world. Our friends and families are there. Our mansions are there. Our thrones are there. Our God and our Savior are there. So we live in this world and we long for that world. And that's why Paul could say, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things, 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 10. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 8, he writes, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're cast down, but not destroyed. So Paul understood what we often forget. He understood that in Jesus Christ, we are wealthy beyond belief. We merely need to appropriate the things that we've been given in Jesus and use them for the glory of God. I can read the Bible and see what I have in Jesus. I can read it and understand all that I have in heavenly places. But the problem is getting those things here when I need them. The way we bring those blessings into our lives is by simply yielding to the Spirit of God in our lives. And as we allow the Spirit of God to fill us and use us, He produces all the spiritual blessings of heaven in our souls, Galatians 5:16 and chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. So we're rich in Jesus as we lay hold on those riches by walking in the power of the Spirit of God. Then we move on the text. Why has God given such great and wonderful blessings to the likes of you and me? He does it because we are in Christ. When a person comes to faith in Jesus Christ, that person is brought into a wonderful union with Jesus. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 17 says, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. When we met Jesus, we became one with Jesus. As a result, everything that belongs to him now belongs to us. Romans 8 verse 16 and 17 says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Think about it. We are in Christ. That means where he is, we are. Ephesians 2:6 says that he's raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What he does, we do. 1 John 2 and verse 6. What he possesses, we possess. Romans 8 and verse 17. His privileges are our privileges. Ephesians 2 and verse 18. So everything Jesus has, the redeemed saints of God have. We have it not because we deserve it, but we have been given these things because of his work in our hearts and our lives. And we've been brought into a close fellowship with Jesus that he shares everything he has with us. We do not deserve it. We did not earn it. Everything we have was given to us as a free gift of his grace. Now, in closing, what we've uncovered and what we've detailed is a lot of information. But it's all there to remind us how truly blessed we are in Jesus. If you're in Jesus Christ today, you possess all spiritual blessings in him. If that's your condition today, you should come before him and thank him for what he has given you in Jesus Christ. And when you come before him, you should also ask him to help you walk in the Spirit so that you can lavishly spend everything he has given you in Christ. then you and I should get up, go out into the world, living out His will and walking in His ways. If you are not in Jesus Christ today, He is calling you to come to Him. You should obey that call and come to Jesus Christ for salvation. I cannot promise you that you will not have trouble, but I can promise you that you will enjoy the spiritual riches beyond all description.